This is CliffCentral.com.
This is Leadership Platform from 12 to 2 p.m. The first hour was our Leadership Masterclass, and we continue that conversation just in the context of small, medium enterprise business environment. And we talk very practical here, but I have no doubt the word sincerity, which was our first half hour lesson that came into the conversation, I have no doubt that it's relevant even in this environment of small, medium enterprise. So in the studio, Richard Angus, welcome back.
How's it, Adrian? How are you doing?
Good, man. Good to have you back. Where were you? Mauritius?
Mauritius for 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, I saw Facebook. I mean, Facebook is the communicator. That's how we know what people are doing.
Make and all of your friends jealous.
Yeah. and of course, Tracy, we've got you in the studio, and Louis still with us. We have on the line also Wendy Mahoney. She is the former general manager sales of Trudon nationally. So she had a whole force of reps. She's repped herself a lot, even in Europe at a very high level. Someone who can speak with authenticity together with us as the panel, all about your sales rep. You know, what mistakes do they typically make and how to avoid that? Just a reminder, last week we spoke about recruiting. Very fascinating conversation with Robin Perks. And all about how do you effectively recruit, the bigger picture. And we zoomed in on detail as well. So do download that podcast. Wendy, welcome to Leadership Platform.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you with us all the way from Durban. And we're going to, I don't know, just very simply kick off with yourself and our panel. I think let's make it fairly systematic and say, what are the mistakes that sales reps typically make out there? And then we'll talk just now about how to avoid it. Just let's talk about the mistakes for a few minutes. What would you say?
Okay. Well, if I go just high level initially, and you know, I thought about this when you first inquired of me to do the show. And the top five, there are many mistakes that salespeople make. The top five that spring to mind is firstly that we don't understand that sales is a science, a profession, it's a skill. There is actually an art and a process to selling. You know, I think a lot of people fall into sales as a by-the-by without fully understanding it as a profession in its own right. The second thing is that sales is a numbers game, and we don't work out our ratios. We don't fully understand, you know, how many customers must be phone to have, how many appointments to have, how many closes, et cetera. And if you simply work your ratios, it's a fairly easy science to apply. The third thing is to be disciplined. You need to know what you're wanting to achieve with every day, with every week. Know your targets. Know how far you're into your target. You must be self-disciplined. The fourth thing is, I'd say, is represent something. Stand for something. Make sure that you have your own personal brand. You have a reputation. That your integrity is applied daily. And the fifth thing I'd say, which is probably the most important factor to success, I'd say, in any field, but particularly sales, is attitude, to have a positive attitude. You know, for me, I get asked many times why I've been successful, besides, you know, being blessed with favor. I don't give up, and I believe that tomorrow is a new day, and every no is closer to your next yes, and you keep going. And if you apply the simple basics, you're guaranteed success, and just to keep going. A lot of people actually give up just before they actually are about to achieve success, and we are disillusioned that we think the road to success is paved with glory, but it's not. It's paved with many, many potholes that you've got to climb in and climb back out of again. So for me, I'd say, in summary, those would be the biggest five high-level mistakes salespeople make.
All right. So mistakes, if I can put it in that sort of language, I underestimate that it's an art and a science. I underestimate the numbers game as a rep in terms of the mistakes that reps make. I underestimate the value of discipline, knowing what I want to achieve and how to achieve it, and I guess getting out there and grinding, doing it day in, day out. Also representing something, your own brand, I underestimate that. My own reputation, my own brand, and more of what you said. And I underestimate the attitude element, the big role that it plays, but also I guess it's difficult when you've received or heard many no's. No, to keep your attitude up there. Let's just see our panel here who have sold themselves many years, who have probably also had reps reporting to them. And I know Louis Groenewald, his whole career was a lot to do with sales. Would you add anything else? What else would you say are the common mistakes that reps, sales force out there could be making? Tracy? What would you say?
I would add to that to say that you absolutely 100% have to know your product. And knowledge is power at the end of the day. So you also need to know what your competitors are selling and how you're differentiating yourself, and be very clear on that. If you feel like you're not closing the sale, I think there's also an opportunity there to find out what other products people are buying and why they prefer those products, etc. So arm yourself with as much knowledge as you can.
Okay. So that's an interesting trap that someone might fall into, is not realizing that they need to know their product super well and maybe knowing a bit about what else is out there in terms of comparison. Richard?
I think for me there's maybe a linkage between what Tracy's talking about and something Wendy said, but it's the principle of buying into the value of or values of the product that you're actually selling. It's very difficult if I, for example, if I don't drink, please do not ask me to go out and work for SA Breweries and sell beer.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you have sales guys out there and they, and you know, yes, sales is a science, and but there's an element of, well, let's call it the art of selling, which is about belief in oneself, belief in the product, belief in all of these elements. But it goes back to the simple principle of, if I don't have value alignment with what I'm doing and what I'm selling, we're going to have a problem here long term.
That comes very strong to our first half hour discussion of sincerity. So if I don't really, really believe in the value of my product and my offering, I'm not going to come across as sincere. And I might be brilliant at the art, I might be brilliant at the numbers game and all those things, but maybe, and I might do fairly well as a salesperson, but I would do so much better if I was absolutely sincere because I'm connected to the value.
Yeah, connection. And it goes to a number of elements. So, for example, if I'm in an industry and I move from company one or company A to company B to company C, for example, now all of a sudden I've got to talk to the same customer base that was buying from me at company A. I told them when I moved to company B that I've moved to a better company and a better product and a better this and a better that, because that's how sales works. Now I'm at company C. Now I have to tell them why company A and B weren't so great. Well, here's a newsflash. Move to company D is not going to happen, because now all of a sudden you're, and even at company C, your value as a person.
Okay.
Questioning your integrity as a salesperson of, but hold on, you told me company A and company B weren't so great. Now, hold on a second, yeah. What's going on?
And that's where Wendy's thing about personal brand, if you're in the sales game over years, you could fall into that
very
trap.
Very careful with
very
that.
Good point. Louis, quickly, and then we'll go back to Wendy. Wendy, then you can comment on some of the additional points. Louis?
No, like Wendy's model, I just want to add, a big problem with selling is the fact that people grow up with a concept of salesmanship. I didn't, you even had that before. I don't like selling. In the meantime, you're prepared to work hard and diligently, and you're communicating, you're convincing people around you. So therefore, selling is inherent in every quality leader. Selling is not a byproduct. You know, it's not something, but you are a salesman. If you're not a salesman, then you stop moving in life. You can't change life without being a salesperson. Obviously, you must let go of that prejudice against selling as such. Americans are very good at that. The Africans battle a bit.
So that's a very good point. There is this, so a lot of people fall into the game of selling because they're not qualified, or they have to, whatever the reasons are, or they just think they'll love it, they'll make a lot of money. But the perception, that prejudice against selling, the belief that I hate selling, a lot of people have their own businesses and they still believe, I don't like selling, that's the worst part of my business. Richard?
Just want to take us back to a thought that Thamir gave us a while back, where he said, you're always, there's always a sale in place. Either you're selling or you're being sold to. And I thought that was such a powerful statement that he gave us that day.
It stuck with me.
That stuck.
All right, Wendy, so they've added two or three more to your great list, not knowing your product or competitors, and competitors in many instances, buying into the value of your product, that sincere link to the value proposition and perception of not, or the prejudice against selling, that it's, some people may believe it's a low form of income generation, or it's a, I don't know, or it's just not in my nature to sell, and I can't sell, you know, I'm a service person, or whatever it may be. Your comments on those?
Well, of the five key areas that I mentioned earlier, the one that actually requires the, because those are the high-level areas, the one that requires the highest amount of unpacking is number one, which is sales as a science. And for me, you know, I mean, I studied marketing. And I always tell the story, because when I first started off my career, I was offered a position as a junior brand manager for a large FMCG company, and I was offered a position as a sales rep for a radio station. And I was young, and radio seemed glamorous, and I got into radio as opposed to getting into FMCG, and all of a sudden I was in sales, and I hated it. And I managed to still be successful, you know, just by being amicable, et cetera, by following a few principles. But I really, really didn't enjoy it. And I felt very trapped. And like the one gentleman mentioned, that we feel that there's a stigma behind sales. Mm. And then I went overseas, and I was lucky enough to get in with a company that was very progressive with sales training, which I think is the key to any sales success. And that's where I learned the first error that sales people make, is that sales is a science. And that's where all those elements that the panel have discussed fall into. You know, it's the art of selling is not to sell. It's to advise, recommend, suggest based on what you genuinely feel to be in the customer's best interest. Mm. You must know your product. You must know your competitor's product. You must know what your customer wants. Don't sell the customer something they don't want. Find out what they want. You know, there's certain elements like build a relationship with your customer, because people ultimately buy from people they like and that they respect and that they have faith in and they believe in. You know, and these are all things that I think that have enabled me to succeed in sales, is that when I meet with a customer, I find out exactly, I connect with them, and I find out exactly what they want, and I sell them what they want. Well, I don't sell, I advise. You know, these are my products that I think would best suit you for ABC reason. These are the options that are available. And I agree with one on the panel, never knock your competition, because it doesn't bode well on you. It affects your brand, your reputation, and you never know what the future holds.
Okay.
You know, there's also even just the sales process itself when you face-to-face with the customer. It's understanding how to help, you know, psychologically, how do you help a customer make a decision, because nobody wants to make a decision. You know, little techniques like trial closing, give the customer two alternatives. Would you like A option or B option? Understanding that, you know, you always get 5 to 10 objections when you make a sale. And the challenge with a lot of salespeople is they walk away after, you know, possibly 2 or 3 objections, and there's an art to overcoming objections. So all of these elements, there is actually an art and science, a process behind. But again, unfortunately, we don't focus a lot on sales training in South Africa, in my opinion.
Okay, so let's look at this from the small medium business owner who's got a couple of sales reps out there, and let's assume that this is a fairly comprehensive list, maybe high level, but these are the common mistakes that your sales reps are making, and you're allowing them to make it. So let's go through each of them. I don't know if we can do it this technical and this methodically, but go through each of them and say, how do you overcome these obstacles? How do you stop yourself from falling into these traps? Maybe it's just training in general, but let's look at them. You said science, art to it. How do I prevent my sales reps from falling into the trap of not believing it's a science or art? I guess good training.
Well, that's where it comes down to good sales management or sales mentorship. But there's, you know, there's certain things that a sales representative can apply. There are different things that a sales manager needs to apply. But the key for me is training. And the sales rep either needs to self-train itself, or the sales manager needs to impart that, you know, and inspire and enthuse them to believe that sales is a, you know, is a profession, to give them pride in their product, give them pride in themselves.
Okay. I mean, that's an important one. And really good training, inspirational training would help people see that. In fact, you've said a few little things here that just reminded me, it is an art. My goodness, there are some steps, Louis, and then Richard.
Audrey, this business of training, Wendy mentioned, our previous guest from the Cape Town always said, you know, that you attend as many sales courses as you can, so be kept top of mind. It's an emotional thing, but there are brilliant sales courses there. The American company especially invest hundreds of millions of dollars altogether in scientifically developed you know, skills training in sales. And there's a lot there. If you've got a prejudice against sales, you wouldn't go and study these books or courses, and that's making a mistake. You're just denying an important part of your whole personality and your skills as a leader. We all should be confident salesmen.
Okay, no doubt that really good training, and it would help if you really believe that it's a good career and you want to do it. Speaking to a rep now for a moment, you know, train yourself, read books, do what you can, encourage the organization or motivate them to send you on training and so on and so forth. Richard, you had your finger up there, yeah, Tracy?
I think for me, you know, we talk about training and all these elements, and that's critical. But I think that second point that Wendy made about knowing what the numbers are, because fundamentally, you know, if you know that I need to door knock 100 doors to get 10 decent appointments, and those 10 appointments are going to convert into 5 proposals, and then, you know, two of the five proposals are going to actually convert into business, then you know where you need to be go and prospect. And, you know, when you get to 50 and you've only got one accepted proposal, you're going, hey, I'm on target. And that's where the science is knowing, hey, these are the ratios and this is how it works. And until I've put in the effort, no amount of feeling good about myself and having been trained correctly and all the rest is going to play out, because you haven't put in the, you know, it's that old exercise of effort and execution actually bring out the skill set. You know, you can sit on the couch as much as you like and look at a book, but it ain't going to bring you opportunities if you're not out there making the calls, knocking the doors and speaking to the right people. But to get that right, there's an ingredient that we haven't spoken about, which I think is critical, is knowing where to look. Because, you know, we often say to people, it's about the numbers, it's about the ratios, go here, go there. You know, you got to know and understand all these elements. But if you don't feed the top of that funnel properly, I think that's where often you get problems in the sales process and the ratios don't work. And people then throw their hands up and say, oh, this thing doesn't work. Yeah. Well, you know, it's the age-old story. If you're going looking for game and you're going to the ocean, you're in the wrong place.
Probably. Really?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Sorry, just taking you back to my holiday. But yeah,
you get out of it now. Okay, you're back in Gauteng.
But you've got to go looking in the right place. You know, if you're prospecting in the wrong place, if you don't know what a good prospect looks like,
all right,
this falls apart.
Tracy, very quickly, then I'll go to Wendy. How do we help reps avoid these traps that we spoke of? Any thoughts that you have?
I was actually just going to say, you've also got to practice your sales pitch. And the only reason why I'm saying that is that years and years and years ago, when I was a starving actress, I was actually waitressing. And the best sales training I ever had was at Villamora Restaurant. And I remember them saying to us, how much money are you going to earn tonight? I was like, well, I'm waitressing, whatever my tips are. No, how much money are you going to make tonight? Mm. And every day we had to stand up in front of everyone and practice our sales tips. And little things like, you're not using humor. It's like, well, how do you use humor when you're selling oysters? Mm. You know, and suddenly it feels like, you know, this is oysters from the Falklands, post-war, no shrapnel, you know, and suddenly you get a laugh and suddenly you're bored. And so they were just little, tiny little tips. But I can tell you now, my tips at the end of
increased.
And how was I selling and what was I pushing? The aperitifs, the digestives, how many bottles of wine, you know, and all of these little things. And actually to have a goal, a personal goal as well. So yes, you can have your targets, but what is your personal goal? I went there to waitress and in 6 months I wanted to buy a car for cash and I did it.
Mm.
And it meant that I had to break down how much I was going to sell every single day and what was my sales pitch going to be to ensure that I did that. And so
lovely.
Make good, it practical.
Good examples. I guess that goes, Wendy, to number three, disciplined. Know what you want to achieve. So some more comments on how we help sales reps avoid some of these traps that they could step into, these barriers.
Well, if I reflect, you know, back on myself, you know, look, as sales reps, you know, we're still empowered to upskill ourselves in a variety of books, and you can get mentors and you can do courses, etc. But if I look at my career and my journey, you know, I became extremely successful in sales because I received amazing sales training that I absorbed like a sponge and applied and kept redefining and kept getting better. So, a lot of it falls on what type of leadership is actually out there, which is a challenge, you know, at the moment. It's something that you obviously very, very aware of. Mm. You know, I'd say as I look at myself as a sales manager, you know, I used to believe in a few key things. I used to have daily sales meetings to not only keep the reps inspired. You know, I used to almost in a way psychologically brainwash them by keep saying, no, tomorrow's another day. We're going to have an amazing day tomorrow. Keep inspiring them and keep reflecting and say, right, what do we do today? Let's not beat ourselves up, but what can we do better tomorrow? You know, I believe in role playing. I think Tracy mentioned role playing. I believe I learned my skills from role playing. Mm-hmm. And to tape record reps and to video record reps and to keep going until it's actually imprinted in your brain. And, you know, I can actually wake up in the middle of the night and you can start asking me objections and I'll be able to answer them because they were trained. Mm-hmm. So they were so enforced into my brain, you know. And I even, you know, when I saw gaps with sales reps when I first started sales managing, I started building frameworks, which I started to apply and obviously started to enforce, because nobody likes to do something unless it's enforced, even if it is for their best interest. On the certain, you know, going back to the science again, Somebody mentioned preparation. Preparation is so key. You know, before you go inside your, go meet your customer, make sure that you know what you're talking about. Make sure that you've researched the customer, you know the industry. Little things which might not seem important are really important. Like when you walk into a customer's office, don't go straight into selling. You know, ask the customer how they are. Build some kind of connection with them, because as soon as you build a psychological link with somebody, there's more likelihood they're going to buy from you. Ask them about their business. Ask them how they're doing. Who's their target market, you know? And again, that builds credibility. You know, understanding how to, as I said earlier, trial close, offering two options, overcome your objections. And also, there was a discussion earlier about prospecting. Prospecting has always been a challenge of any sales rep. But I'd say the easiest way to prospect is if you do your job right. If you apply the sales science right, you know, there's always that age-old say, you don't have to work hard, you just need to work smart. You know, I believe in a combination of both of those. But ask for referrals. You know, and if I've met with you and I, you know, and I'm impressed with your service, and I build a connection with you, and you say, hey, do you know of anybody else who might be invited in the market? Then I'm going to give you a referral. And then when you're phoning that customer, you again have more credibility, because you're phoning saying, listen, I spoke to Arjun. Arjun mentioned you might be in the field. Can I come through and chat with you? You know, that's an easier, more powerful manner of prospecting. Nice. But those are little tips that we need to train ourselves into. And, you know, when I first started out, I used to have a little notepad. But I used to have the points of the sale literally next to my book, that when I was with the customer, if I forgot, I'd refer back to one of the points and go, okay, go back to the step. You know?
And where does the sincerity element come in? You do have one salesperson who really seems so natural, and they seem so sincere, and you just trust them. And we discussed earlier in our leadership show the principle of leadership and sincerity, and I think our guest said there's a strong link between sincerity and trust. So why would one salesperson just come across so sincere? And maybe it's all of this together, but just give us your view, and Tracy, you too, and all of us in the studio. Why would one come across as absolutely sincere and another just won't? They come across as not sleazy, what's the word? Slick, a real salesman. What's the word? Come on, what's the lingo out there?
Oh, I don't want to be accused of labeling any industry, so I won't comment on that, but I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
For me, I always say, you know, you need to be strong, but you mustn't be pushy. You must never feel, and customers never feel, hold on a second, this the sales are pushing for a sale. What I always say to rep over and over again, and what I say to myself, is I don't sell. I advise, recommend, suggest based on what I feel to be in your best interest. And when a customer says to me, you know what, you're just pushing for a sale, I say, not at all. I'm just advising you what I think to be in your best interest. Whatever you decide to do is up to you, Mr. Customer.
Yeah, so you're a sales, you're not a sales advisor. So if I sell BMWs, then I'm a BMW advisor, whatever, a car advisor. It does change the perception a little bit when you see yourself as an expert advisor as opposed to a salesperson, which then means you've got to go back to really understanding your product, understanding it intensely and really believing in it and connecting with it. Tracy, your view on the sincerity element?
Yeah, I think, first of all, you've got to, A, believe in yourself. B, you've got to be really passionate about what you're selling, because I think passion comes across. If you're interested in your product and you really believe in it, someone else is going to believe in it as well. But I also agree. I think building a relationship with your customer is key, then moving into the sale. And if they're not interested, finding out a little bit more about what they're wanting, and maybe your product actually isn't the right product for them. And I think there are times where you can say, you know, it doesn't appear that we've got the right product, but there's some other great products out there that we don't sell, and maybe you should go and investigate and have a look at that. So I think often, don't be shy to refer them to another product, almost your competitor. But when you come back again, they'll know that you were really honest, and they believed you, because you weren't trying to sell them something that actually you knew couldn't fulfill their need. That's my theory.
And surely you can't, sorry, Richard, you can't say, I'm honestly an advisor. I'm here, Tracy, to advise your best interest. Okay? And even if I believe my offering is not sufficient, I'll tell you that. So I've got to stay true to that, I guess, which then also says you've got to know what's out there in the marketplace. Richard's been jumping up and down this chair. Yeah,
I was going to say, we had an example in TFT where a client needed services, some services that we provided, but they couldn't afford what we had on offer, and I realized they couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And I said to them, look, this is what you need in terms of capability in your business, but unfortunately, I realize that we are not going to be able to help you here. These are the people that you can speak to that might be able to help you at that sort of level. Price would probably be more appropriate for you. These are the risks that you're going to have to run. These are the issues and you're going to have to manage yourself. You wouldn't have somebody like us managing it for you. And the client said, thanks very much. They went off. And about a month and a half later, the phone rang again and the person re-engaged and said, look, I've explored and I've listened and I looked and I saw and everything you told me I was going to find is there. And actually, we've made a decision that we're actually going to spend more on your services because actually we believe that you gave us valued advice and we trust what you're giving us.
Very good. Louis, any comments? Wendy? Louis, do you want to say something before we go to Wendy?
Just quickly, the more you embrace the concept of service and selling, the more enjoyable it becomes. That's very important. Mm-hmm. People must sense through your humor, your passion, your sincerity. So you don't have to falsify anything. You know, just learn to enjoy what you're doing.
Wendy, you're kind of, we're close to wrap up comments, to be honest, but also include in your advice, because you're not selling anything to us, you're advising us today, just include, how do you keep the attitude of your reps up? It's a tough game out there. You look at these guys at the street corners. My dad always says that they are brilliant salespeople because they take a million no's before they get one yes. And that's actually an incredible skill. But how do you keep your... Personally, I'm a sales rep in the field. I know what I want. I'm going for it, but I'm still going to be down at times. How can I keep my attitude up firstly? And then maybe if I'm a sales manager, how do I keep up the attitude of my sales reps? How do I keep it up and positive? But more particularly the individual. I'm out there selling. What do I do?
You have to believe in your own mantras. You know, when I was on the road selling, the company I worked for overseas was incredible experience. But we did very, very high-level sales. So you did very few sales. So when you did sell, you sold for very large amounts of money and was high-level media with, you know, global CEOs and governments, et cetera. So it was tough. So you got a lot of no's. But, you know, the things that I actually, the advice that I give sales reps now and when I coach and when I mentor sales reps, it's stuff that I applied myself, you know. So, yes, you can, you know, walk into office and have a manager inspire you and say, hey, keep going. But, you know, I didn't have that when I started out as a sales rep. I had amazing training, but I didn't have a sales manager phoning me every day. I was very, you know, I was in a foreign country all by myself. And I sincerely believe that every no was closer to my next step. You know, I don't just say that. I really, truly do believe that. And I sincerely believe that tomorrow is going to be a better day. And I sincerely do, I don't give up. And I just keep going. And I've got many, many, many horror stories, you know, where I've been so close to giving up and I've just kept going and had the most incredible, you know, success. So, you know, you have to control your mind. You know, that's why attitude is so fundamental. Mm. And a lot of sales reps are skilled. You know, they might have the other elements, they know their ratios, et cetera, they have the skill, but they just don't have the attitude, you know, and the attitude is all defining. They say that that actually supersedes talent nowadays is attitude. Mm. And in terms of, for me, I'd say that you know, if I look at when I, because it's so, you know, sales is so hardwired in my brain, whenever I'm out, you know, on a daily basis, if anybody tries to sell me anything, I immediately look at their technique and see where they're going wrong and what they're doing.
Ouch.
I do refrain from advising them or coaching them on the spot. You know, but I'd say the number one thing is they don't ask me what I want. You know, we think that there's a miracle to sales success. It's really not. There's such basics to sales success. You know, ask me what I want. You know, if I go looking for a car, don't try to find me something I don't want. Ask me, do I have kids? Am I interested in something sporty, something fast? Because I'll often look at a sales rep as amusement, and they'll be selling me something, you know, a fast, sporty sales fast car. And I'm going, but I don't want that. I actually want the 4x4 SUV. It might be crazy, but that's what I want, you know?
Yeah, sales. Sales is the real life, isn't it? And our time is up. But Wendy Mahoney, thank you so much. You shared a lot of gems there. And I think those are, with our panel here, thank you so much, everyone. Some of the common mistakes sales reps make and how they can avoid it. And we'll talk about this again sometime. But valuable, valuable insight. Thank you so much. Wendy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. And thank you, Tracy, for joining us. And Richard, back in the seat. Louis, thank you. Great show. I really enjoyed it. Next up, we're going to talk about leadership and education. And we're going to talk about this Roodepoort, this Roodepoort primary saga in Roodepoort. And it's really challenging. But we have a great principal in the studio who seems to be defying it and who seems to be proving that what they can't achieve in Roodepoort, he's achieving. We're going to talk to him. But first, we'll share our thoughts on the Roodepoort situation so that you can learn as a principal out there. Anyway, this conversation we just had now was brought to you by Trudon. Visit trudonhome.co.za for all your small business marketing needs. Trudon, it's our business to grow your business.
This putt for birdie and to take the trophy as the new champion. And you still haven't booked that jumping castle for your daughter's birthday tomorrow. 15 yards from the hole should break from left to right. And just imagine the disappointment as your daughter realizes you've let her down in spectacular fashion.
Address those pressing issues fast. Access yellowpages.co.za from your mobile, tablet, or via the app. Now with free call, bookings, quotations, and detailed maps. Yellow Pages. Local reliable results in an instant.
This is CliffCentral.com.